from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. Park rangers and volunteers in the Santa Cruz Mountains are protecting a decades-old secret. Actually, about eight of them. They are albino redwood trees, pale and fragile. These so-called ghost trees are deliberately off the beaten track, as Amy Standen found out.
Did you see it in advance?
Dave Cootey is a docent here at Henry Cowell Redwood State Park.
Well, when you stopped, that was sort of a giveaway, but it is kind of weird looking.
We're looking at a stark white bush. It's about 6 feet tall, and it's sprouted from the base of a normal redwood tree.
It's not particularly tall. It's not particularly big, and so it could look dead.
Until you get up close. Albino redwood trees lack chlorophyll. Their needles are limp and waxy, the exact color of a glow-in-the-dark star you might find in a kid's bedroom. And while no one really knows for sure, they may be extremely rare.
How rare? Some people say there's 25 in the world. Some people say there are 50.
And yet eight of them live here, 3 miles north of downtown Santa Cruz, with the rest scattered from Humboldt County to Big Sur. Henry Cowell Park has the largest known concentration of albino redwoods in the world. And that makes it the epicenter for a scientific mystery.
You know, why here? Why this particular spot?
This is historian Sandy Lydon.
Why this particular group of stump sprouts decided to come up albino?
Yes, there are albino humans and albino alligators and albino coyotes. Albinism is a genetic mutation that pops up in many species. But albino plants are different.
Most of the things that redwoods do have a purpose. And that's, of course, to keep the organism alive.
Albino redwoods break that rule. Without chlorophyll, they can't convert sunlight into energy. The only reason they survive at all is because they are sprouts from an adult tree, connected at the root. So for their entire lives, they suck energy from the mother tree.
They're parasites. They're freeloaders. They're not contributing a damn thing to the host tree. Nothing.
It's kind of like some 40-year-old who refuses to get a job, keeps eating his parents' food and sleeping in his old bedroom. Eventually, they'll cut him off. But in the case of the redwoods, this arrangement can last 100 years or more, and no one knows why.
They're mysterious. See, that's what makes them so cool.
Here's what we do know. Albino redwoods, even though they appear to be useless, are a symptom, you could say, of something that is very powerful in these trees. Something that State Park docent Dave Cootey says is key to the success of the entire coast redwood species.
Redwoods are hexaploid. They have 6 genes per trait, as opposed to the 2 like we have.
Hexaploid means that coast redwoods have 6 sets of chromosomes, those DNA instructions that tell cells what to do. Genetically, that means they're playing with a much bigger deck of cards than we are. There are countless more combinations to play with, countless ways that a young tree can be just slightly different than its parents.
They are thought to be the most adaptable tree on Earth by being able to change their genes so readily.
This is evolution in action. Every time a sprout comes up with slightly different genes, it's kind of like an experiment. If it works, that tree might set the course for the next generation of redwoods.
Can develop resistance to fungi. They can develop resistance to viruses. They can develop better growth patterns.
And sometimes they can develop a trait that is of absolutely no use to them at all, an evolutionary dead end.
And as part of those experiments, we get albinos. And albinos probably aren't a particularly good modification from a standpoint of the health of the forest, but they demonstrate there's a lot of experimentation going on.
Here's something else that albino redwoods illustrate. Time, or rather, time from the perspective of a redwood tree.
This little branch fell off of this tree.
It's about as thick as a wine barrel.
Preliminary data says that's a 500-year-old branch.
This branch is as old as the Mona Lisa, but the tree it came from could be as many as 2,000 years old.
So on a time scale of things, this is a very old tree compared to all the others. And yet, to a redwood, it's just a disposable branch.
So back to albino redwoods. To us, 100 years may seem like a long time for a mother tree to keep feeding her useless, parasitic albino offspring. But to a redwood?
It's just a little blink of the eye.
What do you see? What do you see?
What do I think?
What do you see?
I see a white redwood shrub.
If you didn't know what to look for, you'd almost certainly walk right by it. Lydon says that's the idea.
And you'll notice here, at Henry Cowell, you know, we've got a couple of them that are labeled, and then the rest of them we don't tell people about them.
A few too many fans taking home souvenirs, and these albino redwoods could disappear entirely.
You need to be an evolved human in order to be trusted with the information.
So consider it a compliment that Lydon says it's okay if I give you a hint. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Quest is starting a 2-year project to sequence the genes of the redwood tree, as well as the albino redwood. You can see photos and follow our progress on kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the Videz Family Foundation.